Ruby.
Hannah.
Hi, Hannah. How are you?
Hi, I'm okay. Thank you.
Great. I'm going to mute my phone.
Malka.
Good evening.
Hello, good evening.
Good evening.
Give me a second.
Okay. I'm going to mute my phone back.
Okay. In the parasha of Noah, excuse me, I'm hitting the wrong buttons. Noah, section 13. We're starting with Pasuk 84. And we'll start with L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud, good Shabbat Yichud, Ishkin Tei, Bid Hilu, Urchimu, Ud Hilu, Ud Hilu, Urchimu. L'yakda, L'shem, Yud Hei, Bavad Hei, B'yichudat, Shulim, B'shem, Kol Yisrael, Limud Torah Mitzvah, La, Sok Torah Mitzvah. V'ayihino, Am Adonai Elohino, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu, Kononei Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu, Kononeihu. Petach Rabbi Yosei, V'ayamar, Tahali kolech bat galim, akshivi la sha. Aniya natot, haikira ukmuha, avrayaval, haikira al Knesset Yisrael itmar. Tahali kolech bat galim berete. Birateya, the Abraham Avinu, Akeokmuha, Bat Galim, Kedigtiv, Dalnau, Galim, Inun, Mechorinu, Mitanshe, Viazle, Vialim, the Gavav, Umayan la kediktiv, shelachayich pardes rimonim. Rabbi Yossi quoted, "Lift up your voice, O daughter of Galim. Hearken, Lisha, O poor Anatot." The friends have already explained this verse, which refers to the congregation of Israel, which is Malchut. So lift up your voice, O daughter of Galim, refers to the daughter of Abraham, the patriarch, and the secret of the father establishes the daughter. And he is chesed that ascended to Chachmah. And when the daughter has the mochin of Abba, she is then called the daughter of Galim. The meaning of the Hebrew word Galim is springs. As it is written, a spring, the Hebrew gal, shut up, meaning that Malchut is called gal, or spring, when she receives the mochin, Abba. Therefore, here she is also called Galim, or springs, because springs refer to the upper lights that gather and enter Malchut and fill her. The gathering of these lights is the secret of the three vowels of Cholam, Shiruch, and Shirik. As has already been quoted, your shoots are a garden of pomegranates. So the shoots refer also to the upper lights that gather and are drawn into Malchut, like streams and rivers. Questions, comments, thoughts? No questions or comments? Nobody wants to say anything? Is the verse clear to everyone?
There just seems to be several different ideas here, and it's which one to hold of first.
Well, let's take them one at a time, or all three at once. It's okay.
Okay. Galim, Leisha, Anatot. Are those the friends?
Yes.
Are they three levels of peoples?
They are...
Of the congregation of Israel.
They're Malchut, based on different levels of fulfillment.
Okay.
Galim represent Malchut having been filled by Abba, by Chachma. And what's the second one?
Leisha.
Leisha is Malchut filled by the vowel Shiruk. Is that the two dots side by side, or is that, what is Shiruk?
Let's see. Shiruk is a vav with a dagesh in the middle. The three going down is a kibbutz. So what we have is we have a cholam, then we have a shirut, which is a vav with the dot in the middle, the dagesh in the middle, and then hirik is the one dot under of that, of consonant.
Okay, so the hirik is chesed. So Malchut fulfilled by chesed, that's the anatot. And that's why it says, O poor Anatot, it's not complete, because it doesn't have anything from the upper world. Leisha is the Malchut being filled by the central column of Zeranpin, which is basically Abba and Ima flowing through to Malchut through the central column.
Okay, so is the Hebrew Yod complete because it's got the Yod following it?
No, the
Hebrew
represents
has it set.
Let me take a look at the Tikkun HaNefesh chart.
I have that pretty close. Let me find it too.
So the cholam is Abba, which is the straight blind. Elisha is Yesod, and the Harik is Netzach. So the three names are referring to Malchut being fulfilled by another Sephiroth. It's talking about the relationship between these other Sephirot and Malchut.
Okay.
Hanak, may I ask a question?
Please go ahead.
The vowel sounds, how do they connect to the shofar, or are they connected to the shofar blowing?
The vowels are not specifically connected to the shofar. The shofar is Bina. And the blowing of them has to do with whether it's a unified whole of the Tekiah or the separation of the Shivarim, which is broken into three, or the Trua, which is broken into 9 or 13, depending on your minhag. So the shofar is really doesn't relate to the vowels per se. But of course, everything is unified with everything else. So there is a way to do so, but it's not apparent normally.
I'm looking at the Tikkun HaNefesh chart. The cholam is under Tiferet, which is central column.
Yes, Yesod. The cholam is the Bab.
Well, no.
With the Dagesh.
The Shuruk is Yesod. It's number 16. 13 is the Holam, which is just a dot all by itself. We differentiate in class with the students. Holam is just the dot above, but a Holam Vav is a Vav with the dot on top, which would be, I don't think we have one. We don't have one on here. And then the Shuruk would be 16 Yud. I mean, you sewed because you've got a Vav with a Dagesh in the middle. We call it the belly button to the kids. That says, ooh, the ball hit me in the stomach. Okay, so what's the other one? What was it we said? A Cholam, a Hebrik. Okay, now where's the Hebrik? The Hebrik is Netzach, which you said.
Right, Shurik is Netzach.
Mm-hmm.
Shuruk is Yesod, you're saying.
Right.
And Cholam is Tiferet.
Right. According to the chart.
According to the chart. Now, I have explained to you that there are other ways of relating the vowels to the Sephirot.
Okay.
But let's stay with what the Zohar is saying. So we're basically talking about Tiferet, Netzach, and Yesod is how these three Sephirot are relating to Malchut. And that's essentially what the verse is saying.
Okay.
But you'll notice the phrase is the daughter of Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Torah does never tell us that Abraham had a daughter, except that there is a discussion in the Talmud about the word Bakol being the name of Abraham's daughter. Because Bakol means everything. The verse says Abraham was given everything, and to have a son but not a daughter is an indication that it's not everything. So the sages then have explained that Bakol was given everything is relating to the daughter that Abraham had.
And that's in
the daughter that Abraham had is Malchut. But it's not complete because there's none of the brains. There's none of the upper three Sephirot. But the last phrase from Rabbi Ashlag is explaining this idea of the shoots being a garden of pomegranates is saying that the brains, the mochin, the upper sephirot, are flowing through the lower seven. So it's feeling a little too esoteric, not really being followed yet.
No, I think you're doing a great job. It's coming, it's just we have to let it soak in.
Well, no, I have a question.
It's not something.
So,
yes.
Malchut, can you hear me? Hang on.
Yes.
Malchut is Abraham's daughter, so he doesn't receive his daughter until Zion comes down. Or did he receive his daughter already, Malchut? You said it wasn't completed. She wasn't completed. She didn't have a brain. So will he?
Martha, slow up a bit. I wasn't clear in what I was saying for you.
Okay.
There's a place in the Torah, and I don't remember where. I think it's in Psalms, but it basically is saying that Abraham was given by God gifts. He was given everything, and the word in that phrase is Bakol. Like you say in the Birkat Hamazon, Mekol, Bikol, Bakol, Mikol, Kol. there's a phrase in the Berakhot HaMazon that refers to the three levels of words that sound alike. Bakol, mikol, kol. And the explanation is those three are referring to the right, left, and central column. The word bakol is Abraham was gifted with everything. Ba means with, and kol is everything. But someone does not have everything unless they have both a son and a daughter. So the Talmud comes along and says, Bakol, with everything, is the name of Abraham's daughter. But that's Malchut. Chesed is the highest level of Sefirah in our world. But it's not the highest level of Sefirah because it lacks the Mochin. It lacks the higher three Sefirot. So in one hand, this verse is saying that Chachma is supporting Malchut, the daughter. Chachma and Bina create male and female. They create the son and the daughter, the son being Zeran Pin. But what we're being taught here is that the fulfillment of the daughter has to come through Zeran Pin in these three levels. The three levels are Chesed, Netzach, Tiferet, and Netzach. So the fulfillment is coming through the right and central columns. That's what the verse is saying.
Pomegranates, garden of pomegranates, isn't that sort of relating to Chachma? And the idea that it comes down
right,
like streams and rivers is telling us that it has it's falling down.
No, the pomegranate is relating to the Torah because it has 613 seeds, according to tradition, and that's the 613 mitzvot.
Well, I think it all could also be wisdom. In another frame of reference, maybe
up.
I should. I still think that it could represent wisdom in another frame of reference, possibly.
I'll accept that.
Okay.
We're dealing with different levels of code words. The
mm-hmm.
same code word can have different meanings. Let's see what the next verse says. And see if it makes any sense. Verse 85. Hakshivi la'aisha teda'a la'ish oved mibeli terech la'ish zakar la'aisha nukva amai ikre la'ish im ishum diktiv la'ish gibor Babhema o mishum diktiv laish ovad mibeli taref elakolaihu laish gvura tata'a udate migvura ila'a laish oved mibeli taref Shatadinun Nahalim Mistalkin Vila Alin the gavav. Kidenit kere laish laisha di avedat mi bali teref. Diktiv laish ovad mi bali teref uvne lavio. It pardu. Hearken laisha. The word laisha also appears in the verse, the lion. The Hebrew word is laish, perishes for lack of prey. This means it is the opposite of the name galim, as it refers to the time when malchut is lacking abundance and perishes. Laish is the masculine term, for laisha is the feminine. So when the term laisha appears, it refers to malchut, which is the female principle. And he asks, why is she called after the name Laish? Is it because it is written, a lion which is strongest among beasts? Does this signify the lion's might? Or is it written to remind us that the lion perishes for lack of prey, which is because of lack of abundance? And he answers, all that is said refers to Laish. At this stage, Malchut is called the lower Geburah, as she is drawn down from the upper Giburah, meaning from the Giburah of Bina, and that is why she is described as a lion, which is strongest among beasts. But also, she is the lion perishes for lack of prey. When these streams, which are the supernal lights, depart and do not enter her, then she is called the Laisha, the lioness, which perishes for lack of prey. As a result, the lion perishes for lack of prey, and the lion's whelps are scattered about. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I think I remember when we were studying the animals that there were several words that meant lion.
Correct, so there are. That is correct.
You know, I remember Kefir was one of them, and so evidently, I don't know, is it the female that goes after the prey? Somehow always since it was the male, but.
The female lion does go after the prey. She provides the prey to the male. And the leish represents the female. And always remember, what is the what's on the flag of Judah? Judah is called a lion.
Mm-hmm.
And Yuda is related to Malchut. So it's all, you know, it's all saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm. But evidently, male Malchut isn't letting the female waters flow. I don't know how else to say it. If she's perishing because of lack of prey. She's not pulling down those rivers and streams of from the upper rope.
I think we should, we're out of time for tonight, and we can think about both of these verses and move forward tomorrow. Tonight's class will be a Tikkuni Zohar class at the 7 o'clock class. So I wish you all well.
Okay, thank you.
Have a beautiful evening.
Thank you.
Shalom to all.
Shalom.
Shalom.
All right.